Hi, you're listening to the Coding Black Females podcast, where we'll be sharing recordings of our events and inspirational stories and discussions from Black women in tech.
Hi everyone, my name is Tanya Powell. I will be hosting today's episode of the Coding Black Females podcast. Charlene's already busy doing other work, so I have taken over for today. And today we have a very special guest with us. I won't introduce her because I want her to introduce herself. I'm really excited to hear about her journey into tech, how she got into tech, what she's currently doing, maybe plans for the future, who knows? But I'm going to hand over to her. Would you like to introduce yourself?
I'll do that, a round of applause.
Oh, regular. I just made it up on the spot. Like,
introducing myself. I've never been the best at selling myself.
Neither am I. I'm terrible.
I guess we start with an easy one. My name is Lydia. Lydia Magnani Stewart. And I come from the youth and community development sector. Have been working in program management, developing programs, economic initiative programs that support young people to develop skills and then also get them into work. On the other side, I used to build capacity with youth organizations, you know, working with their youth workers, understanding where the gaps are and filling those gaps. So both sort of youth work, but also program management. And I guess for me, my journey, I guess my circumstances dictated, you know, what career pathway I went into. From being an asylum seeker, you know, being fostered from, you know, my country of birth without any say-so, coming to London, then becoming a carer at 21 and a guardian for my younger sister. So it just kind of got me more inclined towards social sciences and social care. I done a social work degree for the first 2 years. Then my mum got severely ill, so I took a year out. And that was my journey into becoming a carer. And I went back because I realized I don't necessarily just want to be a social worker. I wanted to, you know, opening up a bit. So I transferred and I graduated in 2013 with criminology and sociology.
Wow.
And I actually got a 2-1. So with everything that I was dealing with, I managed to, you know, get it done. And I think just that journey alone really made me who I am today, in terms of really getting me to understand what is important, because having such responsibility at a young age and having to kind of make such key decisions, it really kind of just got me a little bit more focused around, you know, thinking about how can I, you know, leverage, how can I be successful, because, you know, I had so much responsibility, and I guess that's what made me start to think about my journey. And in terms of tech, my career into tech, or my journey into tech.
Yeah, I was going to say that. How did you migrate from all of that into
I guess that's the context of who I am, just to give you a context of who I am. And I think in 2014 I went to Kenya. I started to really think about, once I got, you know, my red book, which is a British passport, and I was able to have more freedom of movement, I started to really go back to Kenya and start to, you know what that country is about. And they're very technologically advanced. And when I went there in 2014, there was something, a new innovation called M-Pesa, which is stands for mobile money. And just to kind of really see the transformation that this mobile payment system had made to, you know, from grandmas living in rural Kenya all the way down to people living in the city. And it was actually developed by a young person. So you don't have, as long as you have a phone, one of the issues in Africa is access to, you know, finance. So that's why fintech is really, really big. So I just thought something so simple as, remember when you used to, you know, top up, you used to have the SIM card, you used to top up your phone.
Yeah.
I guess it was just that concept, but really more contextualized for that environment. So what the system is, as long as you have a phone, you don't even need data. You purchase a number, and that number you can add money to it. You can go and
you don't even need data.
So not only can you if you have a bank account, you connect it to your bank account, but they have like M-Pesa agents all over Kenya, from in even the most rural places, and you just take your money and you go there and you top up that SIM, and you can literally even buy a house on that. But you can have you can send up to 300,000 Kenyan shillings at one time within the M-Pesa sphere. So you can imagine the transformation that made to people in terms of accessing finance, being able to send their loved ones, even myself living in London, through World Remit, you know, I could send money in literally 0.1 second, they receive it. So just witnessing that really made me think about, okay, so, you know, because I guess youth and community development, I think technology can be more impactful in that sphere. So it wasn't such a big difference. It was just a thought process of how can I be more impactful in the passion that I had, and seeing the changes that technology had made, it just got me more interested, because I've always been solution focused.
Sounds like you're like solving problems, which makes you a perfect developer.
And in working in the charity sector, you see so much inefficiencies as it relates to, you know, systems and processes. And you're thinking, this could just be done, you know, by, and yeah, so you have to be so resourceful in the charity sector. So then thinking about that and looking at all the stuff that I had been working with in terms of actually enabling people to do the work that's important. And that's where my journey into, I guess, that eureka moment in terms of, okay, could I be more impactful with the passions that I, with what I'm passionate about, utilizing this skill. And then that's how I started, I guess. And then I guess in late 2019, I was doing contracting work, and then my contract ended and I just was just tired. And I thought, this is my time. I was just tired of, it was also part of an experience that I had with, you know, racism and within, you know, the charity
sector. So you were still contracting in the charity sector
in 2019? Yeah, in 2019. So October was I had finished a 2-year contract. It was an £11 million employability program that we were running. So I finished that, and then I was like, I guess this is a time for me to really start to think about how I can shift. And with so much opportunities now in terms of getting more people, especially people that look like me, into tech, I just felt like this is now or never. So I started doing some research around, you know, having no IT background, where do I start? And I came across an opportunity to land Linux. So that's where I started. So I started learning, because I researched that Linux was the most, you know, popular operating system within enterprise. So I thought that would be, rather than Windows or Android or, I mean, Apple, I thought, let me learn Linux. And I started doing that. So weekday, so I would have 4 hours virtual, 4 hours on a Saturday, 4 hours on a Sunday virtual. So I learned everything. Sort of like the overview of, you know, the whole thing.
How were you learning it? Like, what resources were you using? Were you learning by yourself, or did you go on a course? Or
so I went on a course, and then I got this big.
You got a big book. What's the name of that book? I can't see the name of it.
Hold on, let me change.
What is the name of this massive book? It's thick.
So it's called
Red Hat. Oh, were you certified? So Red Hat.
Yeah, so I became that journey to be certified with Linux, just because I didn't have an IT background. So I thought if I started with Linux, learning sort of just the foundation of everything, you know, from, you know, firewall management to, you know, so just troubleshooting how that works. So I'd done that for 6 months.
Wow.
And then obviously the pandemic provided even a better opportunity because we were working remotely, and everybody was shifting. So I was like, you know, timing.
I've already started.
Yeah, already started, right? And then I learned within that course, I learned a bit of AWS. So, you know, auto-scaling, you know, server management, because again, AWS is, I thought it was important to learn, look at what is happening in the sort of wider sphere.
Yeah.
Because there's so many products coming up, but in terms of the key operating systems, from, I guess, on-prem to cloud, and that's where I kind of thought out a little bit about my journey, because I didn't have no IT background, and Linux and AWS represented the most popular ones that you would get more opportunities.
So you spent 6 months becoming Red Hat Linux certified.
Yeah.
And then after that, your thought process was, I understand an operating system inside out, because that book is pretty thick, right? As a fact.
Yeah, I'm not saying I know everything, but it was
so a study. That is a fat book, right? As if, so you're now Linux certified, you understand this operating system inside out. Like, if I have an issue, I'm coming straight to you now, because I've seen the side of it, and you're certified. So when you have an issue, when I have an issue with a server, and I'm like, oh, is it a Red Hat? I know exactly who to talk to. So like, I understand an operating system. What cloud provider is utilizing the operating system that I know, and how can I get in there? And that's how you found AWS. Is that how it went?
Yeah, and I just, so I just, well, my professor, the tutor, was like, you know, you could learn, there's so many different cloud operators, but AWS, because even other companies, when they're recruiting, they're asking for AWS because literally they've just taken over the world.
Yeah,
in that sense. So if you have AWS skill set, you're basically just making yourself more viable for the market. So it was a more strategic decision, just because I didn't necessarily have a background in IT.
Yeah.
So it was like, based on where I'm at, and, you know, within the next, I said to myself, a year and a half, I should be on that
journey. You say you don't have a background in IT, but then at this point, you'd already had a certification in the whole operating system. So you, by then, you had a background in IT. You created it for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So that was like on weekends, 4 hours on Saturdays, 4 hours on Sundays. And then during the week, I'd have a study partner and we would just go through stuff. So I still have the VM where on my laptop. I'm still doing exercises within it, because for me, with tech, it's one of those things that you have to keep doing, and that's why I thought I want to now go on that journey of actually going into production. Even if I'm not confident, I need to get into production. Before that was the fellowship, the CBF fellowship.
Okay.
That came in December 2020.
Right, okay. How did you hear about it?
So just through my LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn. As I said to you before, I used to do program management. So it was, and part of that was, you know, stakeholder network development and stakeholder management. So it was really about utilizing all the resources and building up my profile so that I can connect and build my network like that. So I was quite active as it relates to looking for opportunities on LinkedIn. So it was through LinkedIn. No, actually, it wasn't through LinkedIn. Let me go back. So I am actually part of this platform called Dope Black Females.
Okay.
Charlene Hunter is actually part of. And Charlene put in there an opportunity for Coding Black Females for the fellowship. And I just applied.
And what fellowship is
this? It was actually that simple.
What fellowship was this?
So Charlene Hunter, so I'm part of this platform called Dope Black Females.
Yeah.
Which is
what's the name of the fellowship? For?
So the Kong and Coding Black Females Fellowship. So it was the first pilot. So it was a trial pilot for where they were looking at. So Kong are an API specialist in America. So they partnered up with Coding Black Females to provide an opportunity for five black women in the UK and five black women in the US to, you know, go on this journey where they provide technical programs. So they purchase a program language for you, the certification of your choice. So I chose Python. They give you a mentor who came from Kong, and you work with them at the time when you're learning your language. You're supposed to be coming up with a project with your mentor in terms of applying that learning. And at the end, you showcase your skills. But within that, I was, working to develop my network, as well as, you know, developing my LinkedIn profile. So all of that was done. So in terms of that clarity of from Linux and knowing and learning Linux and AWS to now really thinking about, okay, do I want to be a system administrator or do I want to go more into development? And based on my background and me being more solution focused as opposed to just more system admin, I felt like I would be more suited to becoming a software engineer. Mm-hmm. But that journey was also going to be long. So the fellowship presented an opportunity for me to get onto that, I guess, development route as opposed to just administration.
Okay.
So then I started learning Python, working with my mentor, and the fellowship finished in March. And then March 2021. So it was from December to March.
So between finishing your Linux certification, because you said that was 6 months, and you started in 2019. Between that and the Kong fellowship, what were you working on? What were you doing to enhance your skills?
So I was basically just doing, I got a little role doing sort of help desk.
Okay, nice.
So the first one. So then that enabled me to apply my Linux administration.
Yeah.
Hence why I didn't want to, I guess, just stay doing administration. I more thought about, okay, I want to become more of an engineer and do development and develop products as opposed to,
I guess. So you went out and got yourself some work experience. Yes. So you went out, got some work experience to speak. Do I actually like this field that I've just studied? Smart. I like it.
Yeah. And then so my journey was just really about, okay, what do I want to do? It's a big sort of sector. Okay. What's the best way to get in that Linux, AWS? Okay. I need to get some experience. So I can kind of, you know, just keep focusing and really get into that pathway, that clear pathway of what is it that I'm going to do. So learning all the skills, then kind of, I guess, streamlining to the point that I am now, where I've got my first role as a support engineer with one of the leading companies in the whole world, which for me will give me not only the support, because if I go back, because I just got into it. So after that fellowship, I kind of was a bit more clear in terms of me wanting to go into development. So then I thought, okay, how am I gonna do that? And as a result of kind of working on my LinkedIn page, I had put up all the stuff that I'd done with the fellowship. I had kind of changed my profile. I had put up my experience with help desk. So I actually didn't even apply for AWS because AWS are basically trying to employ the whole world because they've got too many jobs and not enough people to do it.
This whole time you actually haven't said where you work. Where is it that you work?
Say that again. I haven't started yet. AWS. I haven't started yet.
So let me just understand the timeline here.
I know.
Then an operating system. To then be like, I know this operating system. what cloud provider utilizes this operating system? And we're like, I want to work with, not necessarily for this cloud provider, but something with this cloud provider, to then doing a 3-month fellowship with Kong and Coding Black Females, and having that cloud provider that you want to have some sort of working capacity with, to them actually contacting you, like, don't just have some capacity with our stuff, come and work with us, come and help us build our tools. That's what happened. Just make sure I understood that correctly.
So there was a bit of, you know, like, I guess, polishing for me in terms of, you know, making myself more visible. So I would, like, you know, go to webinars. I would engage with, you know, blogs. Like every time Kong was doing stuff, I would go on there and I would actually go on and listen. And then I would really start to, you know, share stuff on my own personal stuff based on that blog and what I think. So I was quite active in really engaging in the tech world, what is happening, you know, zero policy security. What does that mean for me? How, you know, so just really talking. And from that, I guess I started to get not headhunted, but I guess recruiters started to contact me. And I had to even, I don't know how I came across, but obviously I came across really senior, because I was getting a lot of senior roles. Maybe the recruits are just hungry, but I was getting a lot of senior roles requests, and I was like, I'm not senior yet. So I had to be really honest with myself, rather than just lying. And say, you know, I had to, I even turned down like 60k, 70k,
what?
Just because I don't want to, like, you know, you have to fake it till you make it, but you don't lie.
Yeah.
Yes. So because ultimately, like, I'm a person with everything that I do, I want to make sure that I'm, first of all, integrity is a big thing for me. And this is also a learning journey for me as it relates to, okay, being in a whole new sector. So I don't want to say I'm here and I don't get the support that will enable me to get here, you know? So it's really important that, you know, you really think about where you want to go and what that means in terms of the steps that you need to take.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might need to embellish a little bit. I have, you know, everyone has embellished.
We've all done it.
Don't lie and say you've got 5 years experience when you've only got one, because then that would dictate how the person, what the expectations are. So I feel like then that leads me to nicely to the process of AWS engaging with me and how I ended up where I am now. So after the fellowship, I got more confidence, because not only did I, you know, was I talking to like vice presidents of one of the largest, vice presidents of a technology company that's also supporting other tech companies to do what they do better. So it just really gave me confidence. And I remember.
Was that the vice president at Kong?
Yeah. So this was the fellowship. And I remember one key thing stood out to me, the vice president of engineering. I remember he came on and he was like, he's so happy to see, you know, he's tired of seeing people that look like him. He's a white man. And second of all,
I don't know what to say about that.
He was like, the reason why he really wanted to kind of be part of this, or Kong to be part of this, because he feels that there's so much solutions that can come from so many places. And he was saying to me that, listen, you getting into tech, he said, you are not going to be looking for jobs. Jobs are going to come looking for you. And I swear down, jobs came to look for me.
He was right. And he was also right about having like the diversity of mind and different problems that need to be solved. So if we go back to what you were originally talking about when you started going back to Kenya and seeing how the change with mobile payments, that's a problem that only certain demographics are going to understand. Because as soon as you said that, I was like, oh yeah, I know this problem.
Yes.
I know exactly what this problem is. And I think I've heard of this solution as well. But not every demographic is going to understand that. So it's really important, like diversity of mind, not just, you know, culturally, but get as many people in the room together to solve multiple problems. So he's right about I'm fed up of seeing certain type of people, because we always get the same type of solutions, or it's always the same problems that we're solving over and over again.
Even if you think about what you, just to add on to your point about diversity of mind, if you think about just a bit, I know it was a little bit maybe all over the place because, you know, I always have so much things to say. But if you think about the journey that I've just said to you, like, you know, being an asylum seeker, you know, being a carer, being a guardian, you know, working in the youth and the community development sector, think about, you know, that those experiences and think about what I as a person can bring
to the table
just by the virtue of my personal also and my professional skill set. So yeah, going back to fellowship and the confidence it gave me in terms of the whole mentorship, because I'm a big believer in mentorship, but I believe mentorship goes two ways, in terms of
100% agree.
You also as a mentee, you can also add value to that process by, you know, just doing the work, being doing the kind of foundational work in terms of understanding, okay, what is it that I want to gain from this relationship? What do I need to give to the relationship in order to give back to me? So hence why I was saying to you about all the things that they kept telling me, you know, be active on LinkedIn, start to build your network. All of these things I started to apply during the course of the fellowship, which then gave me get confidence, because I had, you know, the vice president responding back to me, and I was like, oh, okay, chatting rubbish.
You know? I know what I'm saying. I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So I think it's a combination of you really thinking outside the box, knowing that you are the best resource. You don't need resources. You need yourself, and you're the main resources, because you are the one that has to look for the opportunities, hence CBF. I was active on LinkedIn. I saw, and then also my network that I have, which obviously got brought me and Charlene in the same space. And when she sent that information about the fellowship, I was able to be quick with it, applied for it. And I was initially going to apply in a very formal way and say this, but I just started off with how I started off here. And I told them my journey of, you know, now it's my time to make my decision about what my life is, because for a long time it has been about other people, you know, and I feel like, and I guess they were really impressed, and that's why I got through. So as a result of my LinkedIn being active, you know, kind of showcasing my experiences, I started to get, you know, recruiters messaging me about job opportunities. So when AWS came calling, I was like, hey, hello, I'm here. And I just started the process. I think it was in, so think about, we're in August. Started the process with AWS in April.
Okay. You said you haven't started yet.
No. So okay. April, they spoke to the recruiter, they sent me information about the role, I had to do some, you know, NDA process, all of that stuff. Then I had to have a screening with the hiring manager, which was an hour. They just firing technical questions.
You had technical questions for the jump with any of that softball personality?
No, they do. So Amazon they mainly test you on their leadership principle, because obviously technically they know that people are not always going to be, you know, over there, the highest, and that's not necessarily a problem because they can train you and whatever. So their technical has to be part of the process, because they need to know where you're at, because how they look at it is that you have to be at least 50% better than the people that we already have. So they have to. So in terms of they judging you based on a point system, but the main thing is when you finish the interview process, when they go back and deliberate, are you, you know, better than what we have already?
Basically. Right. Okay.
They're
always constantly improving themselves. But we. Yeah. We always want to do better, so we
don't just want to have people for the sake of people. Yeah. well, and that's why they're the leading company in the world. So I had an hour interview, which was quite technical. So at first it was, okay, who are you? Tell me a little bit about yourself and all of that. But just to for them to then take you to the next stage, they have to know technically where you're at, because the next stage is grueling. It's 5 hours of, you know, back-to-back interviews. Like, it's ridiculous.
So, I mean, I've done it. I've had that before. And I'm like, what, the AWS? I've been, not AWS, a different company. I'm like, oh, I've been here for several hours now. I'm like, can I take a break, please? A little break?
Yeah.
Can I get
something? So they call it on-site interview. But yeah, they call it online on-site interview. So you'd have the 1 hour technical interview, then but they do support you throughout, because they're not they want to hire you.
Yeah.
But they have to make sure that they are filtering, right? Because some of the
I'm sure they get a lot of people applying.
Pardon?
They must get a lot of people applying for roles there. So they have
It's a serious thing. Like, there's all YouTube stuff on about how to get through an AWS interview, because it's that grueling. So I just feel, my independent learning, as well as the fellowship, as well as, just it really kind of prepared me a bit for, you know, it kind of felt like speed dating in a way. So you've got 1 hour with four different people to make an impression. And then within those interviews, you had different aspects. So you had like operational excellence, you had Linux fundamentals, you had networking, and then you had sort of just about, you know, the leadership principle. But all throughout, they're more judging you on the leadership principle. So it's important that you know the 14 leadership principles. So when you are asking, so the competency-based questions, they mix it, the technical and the competency.
Yeah.
But they give you sort of an overview. These are the key, these are the areas we're going to cover, but you don't know what question, you don't know. So you just have to be, you have to more, the preparation goes more into the leadership principles in terms of having at least two examples for each leadership principles that is non-managerial if you're applying for a non-managerial role. So
yeah.
There's four, there's 10 that are, but mostly for everyone, and there's 4 or 5 that are for more managerial if you're hiring. Yeah. So like things like bias for action, things like you know, what's another one? Bias for action. It's all gone out of my head.
You better remember them. You better remember them for your first day.
I do, but you know when it's been how long?
Your manager's going to be listening and be like, oh, I'm going to call her in the first week. You better remember all of these.
Yeah, so you have to base your examples around those leadership principles. And I guess that's what I was able to do. I was able to showcase my experience and skills through the leadership principles, because initially they had what I had applied for wasn't what I then ended up interviewing for. So I ended up interviewing for the DNS team, which is the networking team, and that's quite a specialist field. But I made an impression enough for them to say, okay, although we can see you've got some gaps in your technical knowledge, we want to bring somebody like you on board. So what we're gonna do, we're gonna go back, because we're still in the hiring process, because they've built 3 new data centers in the UK, so they're basically building the team from the ground up. So I would be part of that team, but they said they hadn't completed the hiring of the senior team, so they didn't have a manager in that team. I was being interviewed with everyone from the US.
Right.
So that meant that in terms of onboarding and making sure that I, you know, I get the support, they didn't have anybody to do that. So I had to wait, and they came back to me and said, look, we've got a training program in place and we want to kind of bring you on board. So at the moment, I'm still in conversations with the recruiter. So I spoke to the manager maybe 2 weeks ago, or my prospective manager. And they gave me a breakdown of the training package, which is 8 to 12 weeks. And then so it's just now looking at the start time, because they're still completing the senior team management onboarding, recruiting. So it's going to be a bit, it's going to be some, I guess, some time.
But you're going to be working for a massive company, and yeah, I'll be asking for discounts. So expect a message from me soon. As soon as I know your start date, but can I get a discount, please?
Yeah. So I would say that it's never too late to, you know, do whatever it is that you want to do, because ultimately work shouldn't be a place that you dread to go. Even if, you know, we're never going to be satisfied, but I feel for me, I'm always kind of challenging myself, and I'm always thinking about, you know, how can I be as impactful as possible. And I feel like with tech, I feel like it's the best way for me to go. So yeah.
Do you have any tips for anyone who's thinking about entering this world, or was currently starting the process of learning anything tech related?
Yeah, I would say, don't get so, because there was a time where I was just going to be like, let me just go back to what I know, because it just became a little bit overwhelming in terms of the amount of stuff that I would want to learn. And when you're going online, there's always new tech, new something new out. But I would say, really, first of all, sit down, do some research around, okay, what is it that I'm interested in, whether it's the programming language, in terms of the world of work, what is it that is going on? What is it that I'm interested in? And start to really create a study plan that is not about you learning everything, but it's about you thinking about, okay, cool, Python is a very diverse programming language. Okay, it's, you know, easy to learn. Let me look at, you know, learning Python, right? Rather than trying to do Python and doing HTML, then doing this and doing that and doing this. Or, yeah, so you can, if you're going on an independent journey, really start to focus in terms of, okay, where is it that I'm trying to go, and then work backwards, because this will help you not to become overwhelmed by where you are at. So really sit down and think about that study, that pathway. And then within that, you will look at what resources are there to support me, for example, like CBF. So I researched and I understood that Linux was the most popular operating system. So I went and I started Linux. Then I looked at, okay, you know, what is happening from a business point of view? What are kind of businesses using to support, you know, them? AWS came up a lot, right? And that wasn't just me researching online. It was me talking to people, you know, before I went there, people that have been in tech. My sister has been in IT for years. So I actually started with her. I started, I think 2019 summer, I started talking to her. And I'm interested in tech, you know, but she already knew what she wanted to do from a young age. So she'd done a master's in IT, all of that, but she more specializes in Windows, right? So I started just, you know, informal conversations with the people that I know are in IT. And then from that, I then started to look at, okay, what is going on from a business point of view that's outside of just myself? And then from there, what do I want to learn? And then you continuously talk to people as well. You know, research in terms of what resources are out there, like Coding Black Females. If they are like, what do you call them? What do you call them? Boot camps. Mm-hmm. I find that boot camps can be really helpful in terms of that independent journey, because when you are not going to university to do, you know, computer science, or you're going through an alternative route, you're going to need as much resources, a community as possible to kind of keep you going when you're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. So for me, it was the mentorship, hence why I found CBF. It was a community that had resources, it had a network already, and it just kept me interested in terms of that journey from a thought to actually applying that thought.
Yeah.
And then when I needed to apply that thought, they were able to provide whether it's a program, whether it's signposting to another program, they were able to do that. So I would say building your network, really researching, talking to people informally, and then when you formally make that decision, making sure that if there is any mentorship that you can get, do that, because that's going to keep you accountable. So not only did I get a mentorship with CBF, I also got a mentorship with Snap. So I'm part of another platform called Black Young Professionals. They also do a lot of work in terms of trying to support Black young professionals through partnership working. So they had a partnership with Snap. Snap are offering 80 of their people mentorship. I applied for that, I got through. So having that mentorship underpinning my journey throughout has been a key element for me in terms of keeping me accountable.
So
just going, making sure that you can streamline what you want to do by researching and really focusing in, where do I want to be? If I want to be CTO, what does that take to get to CTO state, right? Hence why I went for AWS and Linux, because those are quite famous, and I can see myself, if anything, being a CTO, going that route, as opposed to, you know. So just be clear in what you want to do, and I think that journey becomes more clearer as you actually go along as well.
That's true. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, as you know, I started doing help desk, and I was like, I don't think I want to do system administration. I feel like I've got so much more to give as it relates to development and my experience. So I started to now research if there were more other entry pathways to software engineering.
Yeah.
And hence CBF fellowship. And then I started to become more attractive to prospective people, because not only have I got their system administration, they could see that journey coming from the youth and community sector. I left that still on my profile, to then, you know, gradually going from help desk to now more carving up my pathway to engineering, and now
look at you now
getting an entry role as an engineer.
Yeah, round of applause for that. I have a really, well, it might be a long question, it's a quick question, we'll see how it goes. You were in youth and community development for a while. Now you're in technology. Mm-hmm. How do you think the two can be merged together? Or what could technology bring to the youth and community sector?
So that's actually great that you're asking me that, because not only... I feel like the way the youth and community development sector is not sustainable as it relates to the solutions that are being provided to solve some of the issues, challenges that are surrounding young people. So that's skill development, and not just skill development from a point of view of, you know, just getting a job. It's actually understanding the barriers that young people are facing, mm-hmm. Supporting them to be more, be more part of that process of finding solutions. And I think for me, I feel like with technology, you can be more impactful. So from even just the systems and processes element within, you know, how charities are run, you know, there's a lack of that. So they're spending so much time not working directly with the people, but, you know, working on mundane manual processes, which takes away from not being able to do the work. And even just the data infrastructure that is within the charity sector, it's not as efficient as it needs to be in order for you to understand what is going on, you know, where does the resources need to be implemented, and how do we leverage what we have already. So the data infrastructure is poor and they need it a lot, because they don't have a lot of resources. So you need to have an infrastructure that, you know, is able to understand what is going on, and therefore deploy the resources where it's most needed. right? So technology from even just that basic level can make the charity sector much more efficient. And I think that's where, you know, so things like Salesforce, I think they're using Salesforce more, but can Salesforce be a bit more robust to what to suit the work that is being done? Because we had Salesforce, and in terms of thinking about that systems thinking, it's not there. Okay, if this is what we're trying to collate in terms of data, okay, what do we need to implement within this system so it's continuously working? So at the end, right, there's a clear outcome from what we've done. So those are the inefficiencies that I saw. And I was just like, this is a lot. So you end up, you know, there's a lot of work being done, but is that work being, what is being prioritized, and how, what information are we using, or analytics are we using to make sure that first what we're doing in the youth and community development sector is effective? Second, how can we do what we're doing better, or leverage what is working and make it better? You know, and just a more a system approach, because it's too linear the way things work.
Right, okay.
It's more flexible and adaptable. And I guess that's what technology brings in place, right? Second of all, my passion is Africa. Leveraging my skills to add value, so not going in there. And I felt like the NGO space is outdated. It's not really, and I feel like that's where even technology can come in place in terms of resource deployment, and really engaging those people that live in those communities. Because it doesn't make sense, somebody, Natasha, coming from the UK, earning 45K to solve a problem in Kenya that she has no, you know what I mean?
So no idea about.
Sense if you, for example, what CBF are doing in providing the training infrastructure, because as I said, Kenya's already developing in technology. These countries already, they're innovating so much quicker because they have so much problems. Yeah. So therefore, having a training infrastructure, so even if I wanted to go back and, you know, implement a training infrastructure that supports young people to learn certain skills that, you know, for example, AWS, because business outsourcing is a big thing, and there's not enough jobs, the employment infrastructure in Africa is not advanced yet. So if you could train people in Africa, young people in Africa, then you provide an employment opportunity, because there's so much need for business solutions outsourcing, but they don't have the training infrastructure in place. So that's another way I can implement technology and youth and community development. But my final and third thing is what I had already been kind of working on, is I have a platform called AfriAccess, which supports young artisans and craftswomen in the most rural and slum areas, starting off with Kenya. So I make them to become more visible. So I have this platform, just like Amazon, but it's called AfriAccess, where I sell and distribute their stuff globally. So something as simple as that, you know. And then I'm going to continue to develop resources and tools and assets to suit that. So the aim is for them to do what they do and do it better, and be able to scale up what they do better through the application of technological assets.
Nice. Okay, so you've got time in your hands. You've got enough time to solve one problem with technology. Of the three problems you just mentioned, what's your number one? What, you've only got time for one project. What would you pick?
Training infrastructure, a robust training infrastructure that implements mentorship as well. And it's not just the one in, one out. And that's where I can apply my youth development skills, plus my technical skills, plus my stakeholder management skills, to really, really develop this training infrastructure that not only supports young people to gain the technology skills, technical skills, but also about customer experience. You know, building their CV, building their LinkedIn profile. So all of that, and then get them ready to do to offer their services to other businesses, so work from a capacity level and building partnerships with businesses and providing training for these young people. So then it's like a two-way exchange process.
I like it. I might steal your idea, but I like it.
Well, DBF can come and we can collaborate because I've already
maybe,
got
network. Maybe, exactly.
But yeah, because you guys are already doing things, but I know that that's what's needed in Africa. So even if CBF wanted to really start to develop, I think they should definitely look at Africa as a next place.
Yeah. Expansion, global expansion. We'll work on it.
But yeah, I hope I've been a good host. I mean, host.
You've been a great host and a great guest as well. One final question. Do you have any words of inspiration, any affirmations, any tiny like soundbite?
Yeah, you don't have to be great to start, but you have to start to be great. That's my motto.
Oh, I like that. That's gonna be my affirmation of the day. I like that a lot. And look, thank you for joining us. I've had fun. I will be bugging you with many questions after this. You have to keep me updated with your journey. And I need to know your start date as well, so we can discuss our discount. I'm joking.
Yeah. Oh, do you use AWS? Do you?
Yeah, I've run up a bill before. I've accidentally run up a bill. I'm like, oh no, how did this happen? I thought I took it off.
Did you leave one of your did you provision a server and you left it?
Yeah. I'm like, oh no, I thought I killed you. I thought I left you. I'm sorry, I must have just left you because now I've just run up a bill. Oh no. Whoops. Lesson.
Yeah. But it's been a pleasure, and I love everything that CBF does. I think it's really important because it's really, to see somebody like Charlene, somebody that looks at me, that's not only, doing what she's doing as an engineer, but she's also reaching back and providing a viable tool that can pull the next engineers.
Lovely having you. Thank you so much for taking your time out to talk about so much.
Yeah.
And hopefully we'll have you on the podcast again.
Yeah, I'll be, once I start, I can come back and always went over time.
Yeah. All right,
but yeah, you'll always get a lot of content from me.
great, perfect. We'll have you on regularly.
But thank you so much. And stay blessed, okay?
You too.
Thank you for listening. To find out more about what we do, head to codingblackfemales.com.